You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
One of the biggest problems facing America today is that of race relations. And it's quite a dangerous, destructive problem. And how do we solve that? What is the solution? Well, actually, we were shown how in the example in Charleston, South Carolina, where a white racist psychopath killed 9 black people, and how the victims responded is one of the most amazing stories in American history, if you look at it in terms of race relations. When Jesus Christ was crucified, people were putting him to death, killing him for our sins, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that is really the same spirit that those victims in Charleston, South Carolina, presented themselves. And I think it's one of the most amazing stories in American history in terms of our domestic race relations. I think it's something that ought to really be a lesson, an example for us in a way that can really solve problems. But do we want to solve those problems? Now, you'd think we'd want to keep that example on center stage, but actually just the reverse happened. They started pushing the Confederate flag, and I'm not taking sides either way, but I'm just saying that it became the center of all the attention in the media. They were talking about the Confederate flag, and it just seemed like, well, that became the main media story. And the really important story of what happened and how those victims responded, well, it just sort of slipped away into the darkness almost. If you think about that example and what it actually did and can do, we ought to keep it on center stage for a long, long time if we really want good race relations, if we want peace between the races. So let me talk to you a little bit about the real solution to race issues. And I would just ask this question: why did Charleston, South Carolina not become a Ferguson or a Baltimore? Now, that's a critical question for us to deal with. Why didn't the same thing happen there that happened in those other cities? I want to read to you a little about the victims here and show you how they really did come in the same spirit that Jesus Christ did. And it's taken right out of the Bible, from the very words of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here in this article by Mark Berman entitled, "I Forgive You." This was related to the shooting by Dylan Roof. And here's what the article said. "The relatives of people slain inside the historic African-American church in Charleston, South Carolina earlier this week were able to speak directly to the accused gunman Friday at his first court appearance. One by one, those who chose to speak at a bond hearing did not turn to anger. Instead, while he remained impassive, they offered him forgiveness." They offered him forgiveness, just like Jesus Christ did. Well, isn't that amazing? And why don't more people do that if we are Christians? Because that's the way Christ did it. Notice the article goes on and said they were praying for his soul. Another one says, "I forgive you." Nadine Collier, the daughter of 70-year-old Ethel Lance, said at the hearing, her voice breaking with emotion, "You took something very precious from me, and I will never talk to her again. I will never, ever hold her again, but I forgive you and have mercy on your soul." Now, that's impressive. That's impressive. How many attitudes do you see like that? And it's taken right out of the Bible. We'll just read a little more of this to you. quote, "We welcomed you Wednesday night in our Bible study with welcome arms," and Felicia Sanders, her voice trembling. "Tawanza Sanders was my son, and Tawanza Sanders was my hero. Tawanza was my hero. May God have mercy on you." Another one said, "I acknowledge that I am very angry," said the sister of DePayne Middleton Doctor. "But one thing that DePayne always enjoined in our family is she taught me that we are the family that love built. We have no room for hating, so we have to forgive. I pray, God, on your soul." No room for hate, because the Bible says hate is murder. Now, how many Christians believe that? How many Christians really believe that? I mean, that's a striking example of biblical conduct. And then there's more there, but I think that's enough. But this is the only spirit, whether we realize it or not, it's the only spirit that's ever going to solve our race relations. It's what true Christians are commanded to do by Christ Himself. Notice Luke 23, and I'll read to you Christ's own words. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Verse 34, then, this is Luke 23, verse 34, "Then said Jesus," His words, Christ's own words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When He died and paid for your sins and mine and made it possible for us to enter into the very family or kingdom of God forever, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And neither did that psychopath know what he was doing. So Christ asked the Father to forgive them. Now look, that is the same spirit that these people had in Charleston. And that's why this didn't become a Ferguson or a Baltimore and more race riots. But then the example was just virtually ripped right out of the headlines. And I guess we've just about moved on now. And if we don't learn from this lesson, I'll tell you we're all going to suffer in a way that people can't even imagine, I think. Here's what from the National Review by Jonah Goldberg, June 24, 2015. Quote, "Lots of folks expected us to do something strange and break out in a riot. Well, they just don't know us." That's Minister Norval Goff told the packed multiracial congregation of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. And they use the acronym AME, so I'll use that from time to time as well. But people, expected to see, well, another Baltimore or another Ferguson. But here, these people responded in spirit the way Christ did. Right out of the Bible, and followed His words, and they brought peace to Charleston. And they've had peaceful relations there, race relations, for a long time. And that's something I want to comment on a little more in a moment. This AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church, AME Church, this is one of their major doctrines. The AME Church has never strayed from the course charted by Richard Allen. The church is wedded to the spiritual doctrine of God our Father, Christ our Redeemer, man our brother. Well, sure, we all came from Adam and Eve. We're all brothers. But, well, a lot of people don't like that doctrine because they don't like what Jesus Christ taught. And that's why He was killed. Because people want to hate other people, and they want to kill other people, and they killed the Son of God, and He forgave them. And if He hadn't, well, if they hadn't been forgiven, then we wouldn't have an opportunity to even receive eternal life. One other doctrine here. This is actually a motto. It says, "God our Father, Christ our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit our Comforter, humankind our family. Yeah, humankind, we're all one family. It's amazing that we can't see that, even though we all came from Adam and Eve. But notice an amazing scripture over in Matthew 5 and verse 9. These are the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes that Christ gave, which is at the very heart of Christianity, the very heart of it. Here's what it says. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What's that? Blessed are the peacemakers, the people that make peace, for they shall be called children of God. Well, if you don't make peace and you make war, then I guess you're not called children of God. That's what it's saying. Serious words, serious warnings. If you're not a peacemaker, you're not called children of God by Jesus Christ. Beatitudes. See, a beautiful attitude of making peace, doing everything you can to make peace, not war, not riots, but peace. That's what this is all about. And again, I think this is a critical part of American history, because how many times have you ever seen an attitude of such magnitude like that that really shows you how to have peace? How important is peace in our nation? I'll show you a little later how important it is. How important is peace? You see, you can get up there and you can put the Confederate flag there. And again, I'm not taking one side or the other, but I'm just saying, look, we've got the wrong issue in the spotlight. That's what I'm saying. And one issue, that is the way those victims responded, will bring peace. It will bring peace to America. The other way that we've been seeing so much is going to bring war and riots and race wars. How else can it end? You see, there's only one solution to this, whether we like it or not. There's only one solution, and we're going to have to go right into our Bible to find it. And we have an example there that shows us that it works. I don't care. It doesn't matter about you, about our view on the Confederate flag that much, I don't think, at least at this point. This is a monumental lesson that we need to learn. Notice, again, this from this National Review article. It says the accused gunman, who had singled out Charleston because of its success at racial integration. This psychopath singled out Charleston because they had such good race relations. And you can see why. All the people were thinking, at least in spirit, much like these victims. But there are evil forces in this world, evil forces that don't want peace in America or any other place on this earth. I say it so repeatedly. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, Satan is the god of this world. He's the one that's worshiped. And that's why we can't have peace. He hates having peace. He knows his time is about up. You can read Revelation 12, verses 9 through 12, that he and all the demons have been cast to this earth and are now confined to this earth and doing everything they can through violence and hate and murder to try to destroy America. And God says we'd better wake up and learn how to conquer him the way Christ did and qualified to replace him in the process. The only thing that's going to overcome the devil and of this world and the demons is the power of God. Jesus Christ just went around routinely casting demons out of people when he was on this earth. And yet nobody seems to talk that much about demons today, but he just did it all the time. You can see all kinds of examples in the New Testament. Where did they go? Where are all those demons? Well, you've got millions more, frankly, because now they're all here, because God is beginning to clean up the universe, and He's leaving earth until last. And now it's about to be cleaned up. Satan knows in verse 12 chapter 12. He knows he has a short time and he's full of wrath. Well, what do you mean short time? Well, he knows Jesus Christ is about to return and kick him off his throne, which he qualified to do. Now, that's going to be, all of these terrible things are going to lead right directly into that, and I mean very soon. Jesus Christ had a titanic struggle with Satan the devil in Matthew 4, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he conquered Satan and sent him scurrying off into the wilderness. And he even rebuked Satan for getting to Peter's attitude. So where are Satan and those demons today? Well, listen to this. I'll just let you read it. I think it says, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, that sounds a lot like the people in Charleston, doesn't it? And then also this article talked about tens of thousands of South Carolinians, white and black, marched in unity across the Ravenel Bridge on Sunday night. Well, they were all walking there and all in agreement and had good race relations in spite of this violence, this terrible violence. But this is the attitude that brings peace. And Christ said, you have to be a peacemaker if you follow Him. He could have destroyed all those people that crucified Him in a flash if He wanted to, but He didn't, because He wanted to pay for your sins so you could have eternal glory. And if you don't accept that, you won't have eternal glory, nor will I, nor will any of us. But there's a great lesson here in Charleston that we all need to learn, and it's a wonderful example that that American people ought to exalt to high heaven. Notice what it says here in Matthew 12 and verse 25. Notice this amazing prophecy. And Jesus, here He is again talking His own words. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Well, there's the future. If you have a divided nation, it's going to come to desolation and it's not going to stand. And when it means not going to stand, it means in this world of evil nations, waiting to pounce on a divided nation and destroy it. That's a big part of what he means. It goes on in verse 30 to say, he that is not with me is against me. Well, those are strong words. In verse 34, here's the way Christ talked to those people then. He said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Wow. Now, are you familiar with that Christ? Do we believe in that Christ? If we did, we'd have peace. And we'd have joy all over this earth, and certainly any place where they followed His instruction. That would be happening. Here's what from the New York Times. This is June 21st. 2015 by John Elagon and Richard Fawcett, and they wrote this, and about the leading elder there was said, the Norval Goff Sr. said, with his voice roaring, Mr. Goff added, some wanted to divide the race, black and white and brown, but no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Well, how about that? How different that is. And look how it works. How different it is than the approach we often see. And this one works and the other one doesn't. that is just the way it is. And then they sang and talked about God and saying, "You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. Not other people, not the mob or anything else. God is the source of their strength, the strength of their lives." That's biblical. And God will give you strength and power and might if you trust Him. The congregation gave the loudest standing ovation of the morning after Mr. Goff thanked law enforcement, particularly poignant at a time when the relationship between the blacks and the police remained strained nationwide. He thanked the police. How does that compare with what we usually see? "A lot of folks," he said, "expected us to do something strange and break out in a riot," Mr. Goff said. "Well, they just don't know us. We are people of faith." Well, how about that? We are people of faith. That's what it takes to follow Christ, to be people of faith. I'm telling you, this is the kind of message we need right now. Isaiah 58, I'll just paraphrase some of this, but it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." And he said, "Yet they seek me daily," verse 2, "and they delight to know my ways." But he says they won't do them. And then even when they fast and when they pray, they don't do it God's way. Go ahead and read verses 3 and 4. Verse 4 says, "Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." If you want to be heard on high, you're going to have to fast and pray the way God tells you to. He said you're not going about your spiritual life the way God tells you to. And we're going to have problems. And God says, now, if you're going to serve me, cry aloud. And tell my people of their sins and tell them why this can never work. It can never work. God goes on to talk about the kind of fast that He chooses to fast before Him. And the same thing applies to prayer. And there are many scriptures that reinforce that. Many of them. But here, the problem today and what He's saying there is, Christians are not getting through to God. I mean, that's what that says. And that's what your Bible says. And that's the reason we have all these problems. We're not getting through to God. Now, some people will say they're not Christians or they're not don't believe in that. But still, if you get into the Bible, I'm telling you, you can prove every word of it. You can prove every word of it. Now, people won't usually accept that challenge, but I did over 50 years ago, and I know you can do it, and it just brings miracles into your world and into your life. And the sins have to be stopped. That's the thing. See, they Isaiah said they seek God in an evil intent. But let me give you just a warning that you won't ever hear much about, but and you almost never hear it, I think. And that is, if you have problems within, all kinds of problems within, race riots, race problems, anarchy, chaos, and all that, it just makes you very vulnerable to these powerful nations outside, other nations of the world. Just consider Russia and China and radical Islam are just gobbling up the territory of their neighbors, even as I speak. You think they wouldn't attack America if we were weak and divided and hating each other and tearing each other apart? You think they wouldn't? I tell you, history cries aloud that they absolutely would. And we've already, Winston Churchill said, look, the history of man is a history of war. We've already had two world wars. You think people wouldn't love to destroy a superpower that is many people? Well, we need to learn a lesson. We needed to learn it quickly. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Charleston citizens reacted admirably to the June massacre of 9 churchgoers. But controversy over a Confederate flag buried this story. Why didn't Charleston become the next Ferguson or Baltimore? The people set a striking example of Christ-like conduct, personally forgiving the shooter at his trial. God says that only the peacemakers will be his children. Charleston shows us how to solve race relations and how to have lasting peace. It's a strong warning to America. Only the power of God can replicate the peace of Charleston in all U.S. cities. Christians today are not getting through to God in prayer. That's the reason for tragedies like the Charleston shooting. That's why America is suffering bitter racial division. But a deep relationship with God is possible for those who learn the lesson of Charleston. Request our free reprint article, Satan Cast Down, to prove why events like the Charleston shooting are becoming increasingly frequent. To learn about the family foundation necessary to combat social unrest, request Gerald Fleury's new book, The Former Prophets, How to Become a King. Order The Way of Peace Restored Momentarily to better understand how God will permanently establish His way of peace on this earth. Order today. You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Each month, The Trumpet looks at today's most relevant headlines and shows how they relate to Bible prophecy. Your subscription has already been paid for. For the free literature, call 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.